Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to take the opportunity today to welcome you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Radio Ministries. Just as we went here live on the air, my CD recorder kicks out my disc and says, disc error. Wow. It's amazing how quickly and suddenly in a studio, errors can present themselves and mess up radio programming. But nevertheless, we're sitting here and we're trying to get another CD into the recorder so that those of you who get the weekly CDs can have the program. And we also have a backup on computer, also have a backup on a SIM card. But it's always aggravating when you start the program off with studio audio difficulties. But by the grace and by the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will certainly get through these aberrations and these anomalies. You never know about technology and how it's going to go that day for you. So you take it in stride. And we sit right here in our little studio. But hopefully before long, in about two more weeks, we should be completely moved into the new offices. My youngest son, Linton, will be doing all the recording, the editing, and allow me to free me up to do one thing, and that is to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ our Lord. You know, my heart's desire is only on one issue and one thing anymore, and that's the winning of souls. I don't have any personal needs. I don't need a pair of tennis shoes. I don't even need a toothbrush. My heart's desire is to win lost souls here in this end time hour. It's amazing to me that people who claim to be in ministry and ministers never make appeals for the lost. There's something wrong when there's no unction, there's no conviction to make an appeal for lost souls, for people to enter in to the kingdom of the Most High God. This is why I thought we were called to preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples. Thus, they have to be born again. As Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Yet there is so little preaching of the cross and preaching of repentance. What's your purpose, sir? What's your purpose, ma'am? What in the world are you doing? Oh, I forgot, you're trying to build your earthly kingdom. And like Burger King, have it your way. That's right, you want it your way. But you forget John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not one of the ways to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, the life, the only way, no other way. I want to share a quick email from Chuck Zwicker, and that was reinforced by Douglas DeBose. And Chuck said, I'm just getting a chance to listen to your preaching today, the importance of the Word of God. Are you kidding me that people would actually defend John MacArthur? How can they be so stupid? Do they actually listen to anything you say? John, tell me another lie. MacArthur tells me that it's okay to do a sin, accepting the mark of the beast that would send me to hell with no chance to be redeemed for eternity. If they cannot even discern this basic stuff, how can they understand anything? Once I started listening to you and reading more of the Word of God and comparing what you were saying with Scripture and fasting, well, let's just say the Holy Ghost sent me a cease and desist letter that went something like this. Stop listening to false teachers and preachers. After listening to you for over 2 years now, I would vomit if I had to listen to John MacArthur or most of these other apostates in leadership today. The question I have for them is this: how can you hear the truth of God's word, taste it, touch it, and defend the actions of someone like John MacArthur? Well, I'm going to tell you, Chuck, they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's what we're going to be speaking about for quite some time, because we're going to exegete Romans 1, beginning at verse 18, starting today. You know, I have a lot of enemies. I went and picked up several thousand of our books last week from my dear friend Doug Small, who does all my printing now and publishing, and a great brother, a great man of God. I love him, his wife Barbara, two precious people. God, in prayer about 4 or 5 years ago, spoke to my heart and said, call Doug. Now, Doug is still with the Church of God. He and I were on the same page prophetically years ago, but I went another route. Doug is profusely active in prayer, working with every denomination, Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, working with a lot of people trying to get the nation in its entirety back to preaching the word, or praying and preaching the word of God. And so Doug has been very instrumental in helping me to get my books printed and published. And as I said, I went over last week and picked up several thousand books that we had published. And he's been such a great blessing. But he's advocating that men get back to prayer and fasting and seeking God. And the truth is, men today aren't praying, they're not in the Bible anymore, and they're certainly not fasting. And because of that, they are no longer retaining a God consciousness. You've got to have a God consciousness. And regretfully, men have lost their God consciousness. Their God consciousness is gone, and thus they say things. So when I went to pick up the books, Doug said, man, he didn't tell me who he was listening to. He said, but brother, were they cutting you asunder? Well, I knew who they were. Whoever they are, they're Baptist. Once saved, always saved. Don't believe you can lose your salvation. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. They don't believe you can take the mark of the beast and go to hell. They believe you can take the mark of the beast and be saved. The Word of God is expressly clear. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Let me quote it again. Revelation 14 and 9. Then we'll get into Romans 1 and 18. Revelation 14, 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man, that means any man, worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. God will not dilute his wrath any whatsoever. Into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented. Those who take the mark of the beast shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. How long is forever and ever? How long is forever and ever? And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and who receiveth the mark of his name. That's the word of God. I said, that's the word of God. That is not David Lankford. That is the word of Almighty God, period. And if you smoke, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I am so tired of these lying preachers. And let me say this. All of that blood, when I had that vision, seeing preachers in hell trying to sling blood off of their hands like they were trying to sling water off of their hands after they had washed their hands, trying to sling it off, and they could never get the blood off of their hands. For all eternity, they're slinging their hands, trying to get the blood of souls off of their hands that they damned purposefully, intentionally, because they would not preach the truth of God. They would not preach it. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be faithful while I'm on my watch. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of Man. I have made thee therefore a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. The word of God warns you. There will be heretics. There will be liars. There will be deceivers. There will be false prophets that will arise and arise and arise and arise and will tell you lie after lie after lie. Folks, it's no difference than a sodomite telling you, a sodomite preacher like Gene Robinson, who married his lover in the Episcopal Church, it's no different than him doing what he's doing for John MacArthur to say, you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. There's no difference. None. Not one bit of difference. A lie's a lie, and the devil's the father of it. Do you hear me? The devil's the father of it. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan fathers every lie that's told. Satan fathers it. Listen to me today. Satan fathers the lie. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have a PhD, a doctorate, doctorate of ministry. It doesn't matter to me what you've got, a master's degree, a bachelor of arts, a bachelor of science. I don't care. If you lie, it's of the devil. You're of the devil. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want your blood on my hands. You say, well, you might be wrong. If I'm in the Word of God, I'm not wrong. I just shared with you from Revelation 14, verses 9, 10, and 11, that says they're going to be tormented forever. It doesn't say they're saved, forgiven, blood-bought, washed, redeemed. It says they're burning forever. Then you want to defend that mess. How dare you? How dare you want to defend that mess? Out of all the emails, two brethren back me up. Two men of God, two laymen stood in my court and said, thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Doug DeBose. Thank you both. Rest of you, you're weasels. You don't have a, you say you are a child of God. How can you read the Word of God and violate it and believe the lies? Matthew 15, verse 8, 9. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and the commandments of men. That is a doctrine and a commandment of a man that tells you you can take the mark of the beast and be saved. That's what Jesus said. That's a doctrine a man made, not God's word. You don't listen to half the stuff I preach. You can't listen to what I preach and be that skewed, be that messed up, be that biblically illiterate and stupid. You can't be that bad off and listen to this preacher. Every time I come to this mic, I give you scores and scores of Bible scriptures for what I teach and preach and what I attack. And yes, I attack the lies of the devil, and I'll attack them till I die. I'm called to wield the sword of the Lord. I'm called to wave the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I'm called, I'm charged to preach the word of God in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because the time will come. Well, friend, the time has come. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You can turn your ears from the truth if you please. It doesn't change the word of God one iota. No, sir. You can turn me off. You can shut me off. You can do what you want to. You can turn your ears from the truth, but it doesn't change the truth. Ted Turner asked the Pope one time, can you take thou shalt not commit adultery out of the Ten Commandments? They'll sell you indulgences. Men, my God, men have done more damage to the Word of God than the devil ever thought about doing. All in the name of Jesus. All in the name of Christ. All in the name of the Messiah. Think I'm fired up? You better believe I'm fired up. I had a great, great prayer session this morning. I got out of my bed. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. I got so much work to do, but it's more important to talk to God and be in God's word first. That's my introduction on May the 2nd, 2016. Romans chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18. I won't get far today. I'm going to exegete this remaining chapter. I don't know if I can do it in 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm going to exegete it, explain it, preach it, teach it, scream it, holler it. Look up the word preacher in your strong, exhaustive concordance. Look up the word preacher. Look up the word preacher. That's what I am. That's exactly what I am. You say, well, what's a preacher? First Timothy 2 and 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. What's a preacher? I'm a public crier. I'm a public crier. I cry aloud. I swear not. I've preached myself under conviction before. Same word, same Holy Ghost. Rinse my heart just like it does yours. Because the Holy Ghost is real. And I'm not a fool. I'm not a fool. That little strange fire conference, that was to attack people like me who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, who believe in the Holy Ghost. No, I don't believe in stinking feathers falling in church services. No, I don't believe in that. That's heresy too. Gold dust, gems, that's baloney, that's hogwash. But you associate me with that hogwash. because I'm a Pentecostal. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Word of God. I said I'm full of the Word of God. But you want to attack me because I have the identification of Peter the Apostle, of Paul the Apostle, with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, that went out with the early church. Can you give me Bible for that lie, too? Can you give me Bible for that lie, too? Show me where it went out. Give me one Bible verse. Yet God said, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. Same Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost in the last days. God's going to do the same thing. You going to deny that too, John? Oh, my Baptist brothers, you going to deny that too? Huh? You going to deny that too? Yeah, I'm fired up. Praise God, I feel fired up. Hallelujah. I can see old Charles Fountain right now. You're jumping up and down. Charles, an attorney in Florida. He loves it when I preach like this. He's doing somersaults right now. He's fired slap up because I am too. I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of this stuff. Jesus in Matthew 11:11, from the days of John the Baptist even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to take it by force. What's the force? The force is the power of the Word and the Holy Ghost. That's where the power is. The Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God discerns your lying heart, your deceitful minds. The Word of God discerns all of us, me included. I'm not exempt. No man's exempt from the discerning of the Word of the Lord. High time we get back to the Word of God. Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God. Boy, isn't that powerful? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let me read that again. That is so power-packed, so power-packed. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, not some, not part, all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. I don't care what kind of man you are. Of course, you might think you're a woman today, but of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You lying preachers suppress, subvert, distort the truth of God's word when you stand in your pulpits. And you do it with ease because you don't like to retain God in your knowledge, because that brings conviction. See? That brings conviction. I'll get to that verse in a few weeks, Romans 1:28. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the motif. That's the theme of this series. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. When you don't keep a God consciousness, you will withhold the truth in wickedness and in unrighteousness. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only a revelation of redemption, the forgiveness of sin, and the full pardon of sin, but it's also a revelation of the wrath of God as well. See, it's also a revelation of the wrath of God as well. Now, we don't like that part. Oh, no. I want you to preach love, love, love. I can take the mark of the beast. God loves me so much, he'll still save me. But yet the Bible says different. I said the Bible says different. But not with these men. see Romans 1:25. I'm interjecting these verses. I'm not there yet, but I'm interjecting them to help you. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Did you get that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? The truth is, you're damned if you take the mark of the beast. But these men take it and they change the truth of God into a lie. Of course, I'll get to that and I'll exegete that verse when I get there, but I'm not there now. But I'm trying to interweave these scriptures along the way to help you to understand why God says, I'm going to also pour out my wrath on ungodliness and on unrighteousness on men who hold or suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. See, there's a reason why God's going to do what he's going to do. You have reasons behind the things you do. Well, so does God. The difference is, you're the creature. I'm going to really hurt some of your feelings today. You're just a big bug. He's the creator, but we're the creature. The only difference between us and the bug, God breathed into our nostrils, we became a living soul, but we're just a creature like anything else. Yet we, though are made in his image and in his likeness, we seemingly have become the worst creature that God made. See, the gospel of Christ, as I said, teaches us the revelation of redemption, forgiveness, and the full pardon of sins. But it also is a revelation of wrath. And we'll take the golden text of the New Testament scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's in the saving business. That's why I don't understand men not preaching redemption. Oh, they preach money, 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 but they don't preach redemption. Now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Now, the same book, the same chapter, except a different verse. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Same book, same chapter, just a different verse. You don't believe the truth. You don't believe the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, you don't really believe in Jesus. I see my pundits will say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, sure. Sure. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they believed in the coming Messiah. But they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Matthew 24:5. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many preachers preach on the wrath of God? Well, that's not popular preaching. Don't you want the truth? Well, if you just preach a little bit more Jesus. Okay, I'm going to preach some more Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus said you'd be damned. Yes, Jesus Christ. Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeshua HaMashiach said, you'll be damned if you believe not the gospel. I know why we do it. These men are not right with God. They're deceived. And I'm glad my pundits listened to me. I'm glad you attacked me. You see, are you kidding, Pastor? No, I'm not kidding. Because when they stand before God, God's going to give them a witness. And so let me just rewind Pastor Lankford's sermon that you heard him preach, and you attacked him, you assaulted him, you eviscerated him, but he preached my word faithfully, but you didn't like it. We'll get into that, because God will not be left without a witness. See, I know I upset people. That's my job. If your car's broke, you go to the mechanic. Your watch is broke, you go to the jeweler. When your life is broken, inundated with sin, you go to the preacher who'll tell you the truth about Jesus, how he came to set the captives free. See, the gospel of Christ tells us about redemption, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God takes all the bragging rights away. But, again, the gospel says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now listen to Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So if the blood saves us from the wrath and the truth saves us from the wrath of God, what happens to us when we don't believe the truth? Isaiah 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore was he turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. You see, Jesus said in Deuteronomy 4, 29, he said, when you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. You'll find me. You see, there's always going to be the charlatans and the pretenders. They always have been. There always will be till Jesus Christ returns. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, you've heard me say the meaning of vain. Worthless, empty, no purpose, no intent. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, or the children of unbelief. You see, when a man says, you can take the mark of the beast and be saved, and the Bible says, you're going to be damned if you take the mark of the beast. You are a person of unbelief, and because of that, the wrath of God is going to come upon you. Because you're disobedient to the word. You see, that's what we are to adhere to, the word of God. See, you go take a driver's test. The sign that most people never know, never get, always fail, is the pennant sign, like a baseball pennant sign. You know, it's wide at one end and narrows all the way down to a point. And most people never know what that sign is. It means you can't pass on either side of the road. Neither person can pass. That's the reason it was so easy for me to remember it. Because it's telling everybody, nobody can pass now. Nobody can pass on either side. No lane is able to be passed. When the yellow line is on your side of the road, you can't pass. When it's on the other side of the dotted line, you can pass. You see, we don't want to abide by the Word of God. See, well, I don't believe that part. Doesn't matter to me whether you believe it or not. I'm not your judge. I'm just telling you, if you preach lies, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8. Now, you want to keep lying and be a liar and not repent of your lies? I know where you're going because the Bible has done told me where you're going. I didn't say you were going there. The Bible said you were going there because all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You see, man's propensity, man's proclivity is to find somebody that'll tell him what he wants to hear. Any time I've ever gone to a dentist, I didn't say, now, before you examine me, here's what I want to hear from you. Here's what I want you to say about my teeth or my tooth. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong. I want you to tell me the truth. You need a filling? You need a crown? You need a root canal? Whatever the case might be. He's going to examine me and say, here's what you need according to my professional, studious expertise in my field of dentistry. I have a personal friend who's a dentist. I pick at him. I said, let me come in here one day, and while you got somebody out, let me drill a hole in their tooth. So I can tell somebody I stayed at the Holiday Inn and drilled a hole in their tooth. Of course, he's not going to let me do that because he's a professional, but I just pick at him, carry on cutting up. Let me pull a tooth sometime, I say. Let me glue a crown on one time. I pick at him all the time. My point is, you don't tell him what the diagnosis is because you're going to him for him to tell you what the diagnosis is and what needs to be done to correct it. I don't tell God what to write. I tell you what God wrote. I don't make this stuff up. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. You won't find any preacher that preaches as much Bible as I preach. And it's becoming more and more scarcity of the Word of God than ever before. And Isaiah 7:13 said, it's a small thing for you to weary man, but will you weary my God also? It's nothing to wear me out. It's nothing to beat me up, send me hateful emails and hateful letters and all of that. That's nothing. That's what Isaiah said. It's a small thing. To wear me, the prophet of God, Isaiah said, it's a small thing to wear me out. It's a small thing to weary men. But will ye weary my God also? See, we have absolute disrespect and contempt for God. You got preachers who will defend the rights of sodomites and transgenders and all of that. We got to treat everybody equal. The Bible says, I only owe any man one thing. One thing. You know what that is? Love. That's the only thing we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. See? That's all. Love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation, or in other words, without hypocrisy. But love also demands you tell the person the truth. You got to tell the truth. Now, that's when people skew love and truth. Jesus was God's only son. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But that same God of love is going to damn every sinner that never repented and got right with God. Are you going to say God doesn't love them? Are you going to take it on yourself? Do you have the unmitigated gall to say, God doesn't love me? Everybody that's in hell, God tried to stop them. He tried to stop them. He put up roadblocks. I was praying this morning. I said, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. When I was a rotten, wretched, worthless piece of trash, the liquor I drunk, and those 5 years of my life, I doubt a gasoline tanker truck could haul the liquor I consumed. You think I'm kidding you? You think I'm kidding you? And I could have went to sleep and woke up in hell. I said, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't let me die while I was drunk. The car wrecks I was in. Should have been killed. I should have been killed a half a dozen times. No less than a half a dozen times. But Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I'm only saved because of the grace of God. No, I'm not a sinner now. Well, we're all sinners, saved by grace. I'm not a sinner anymore. That's what I was before I got saved. I'm a saint now. Now, I know you don't like that. And I'm not talking about the Catholicism type of saint. I'm talking about the saint of God that says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. We are called now to be saints. So anytime you say, I'm a sinner saved by grace, well, no, that's not true. Now that you're saved, you're no longer a sinner. A sinner who is somebody that's not been born again. That's why I don't understand preachers not preaching repentance to get sinners saved. See? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, not some, but against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Preachers, you better not hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, in deceitfulness, in duplicity, in chicanery, in trickery. Don't do it. But you see, your heart is wicked. Your heart is deceitful. You're going to do it your way. You're going to say it your way. And that's what people want. I just quoted it, Matthew 15, 8 and 9. They honor me with their mouth, with their lips. Their hearts are far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They're man-made doctrines. They're not of the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You get doctrine from the scriptures. You don't get doctrine from men. Did you hear me? You don't get doctrine from men. You get doctrine from the Word of God. If it's man-made doctrine, it's a lie. I don't care who you are. You can lie and cheat and do all the stuff you want to do. Even Jesus in John 7:16 said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." It's God the Father's doctrine. Paul said they won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll find lying teachers who'll tickle their ears. Tell them what they want to hear. I'm not going to do that to you. I love you too much to lie to you, to deceive you, to manipulate you. See, a lot of people like me till I get to where they're living. And then, Pastor Langford, he's a bad guy. He's a piece of trash. He's no good. He's no count. He's worthless. Because I happen to preach where now they're living. See? That's why preachers get upset when I say they're telling lies, and they come back and they counter me by attacking me and telling I'm not telling the truth. No, I'm telling you the truth. They're the ones lying to you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You don't need to pay one attention, one iota to what I say. But your life, your eternal life depends on what God says, what thus saith the Lord. See, that's the difference. And I'm not going to sit here and make up man-made doctrine to make you happy and make you like me. I don't care whether you like me or not. Does that make you feel better now? Some of you feel better now? I don't say that arrogantly. I'm serious. I don't say that to be arrogant or crass or to be a smart aleck. That's the problem with this rotten, stinking nation today. Everybody's got to be politically correct. See, John Boehner gets out of the office and he calls Ted Cruz Lucifer. He wouldn't say that, see, because that's not the correct decorum. That's not the proper decorum when you're the Speaker of the House. But when you get out, you say what's on your heart, what's in your heart, what's on your mind. You see, God's going to judge all this sin. That's why I know the church is so ill-prepared for what's coming. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. If you have fallen from grace, and you can, then you need to repent. Well, you can't fall from grace. Once in grace, always in grace. Oh, so God made a mistake there, too, I reckon. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You can't fall off the tailgate of a truck unless you first got on the tailgate. You can't fall off the stool until you first get on the stool. You can't fall off the ladder unless you get on the ladder. You can't fall off the roof until you get on top of the roof. And you can't fall from grace till you've been in grace. Oh, my word. I just felt that mule kick so hard. I felt it 1,000 miles away from here. But that's because the mule don't like the truth. So he kicks. And I know one man whose mule kicked one time too many, and he went back into the house and come out with a shotgun and said, "You won't kick me no more." And he shot his mule and killed him. Mm-hmm. He said, "You won't kick me no more." Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. I mean, how smart do you have to be to understand you're fallen? Thou art fallen, O Lucifer. So, he failed. You can fall. But the problem for Lucifer, Satan, is there's no plan of redemption. God didn't make provision to save Lucifer and the fallen angels. No. That's the good news, the great news for people like you and I. Matthew 26:41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They became Lucifer's angels, and God lost those angels as well, because they went with him. They fell with him. You can't fall from something if you've never been in it. You can't fall from grace unless you've first been in grace. You can't depart from the faith unless you have first been in the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I can't depart from Chicago O'Hare Airport unless I'm in Chicago O'Hare Airport. I can't depart from there unless I'm already there. If I'm not there, I can arrive, but I can't depart. What's so hard to understand about that, please tell me? I can't depart unless I'm there. Flight number so-and-so. Departure. Look at the board in the airport. It says arrival. The other one says departure. You're looking for your departure time. Or if you're picking up somebody, you're looking for their arrival time. I mean, common sense. Common sense says you have to depart from the faith. So that means you had to have been in the faith. See, they don't want to believe the truth. So he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do thy first works. What was the first thing you done when you were a sinner and you came to Jesus? You got on your knees and you repented of your sins. You're fallen from grace now. You need to go back and repent again. And do your first works, which was repentance. That was the first thing you did. The Holy Ghost convicted you. The Holy Ghost convinced you. The Holy Ghost told you, you are lost and you're going to hell, and if you don't repent and get saved, you'll die without God. That's what the Holy Ghost said to you. Now, I'm paraphrasing. He says it different ways to different people, but he makes them sober and aware they're lost. And they repent. Then they start hanging around their old buddies, their old friends, pick up the weed, pick up the bottle, pick up this, that, and they're backslid. They're away from God. They're fallen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else, ultimatum time, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Whoo, God don't wait a long time, does he? He said, I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The candlestick. The candlestick? I wonder who the real candlestick is. It's Jesus. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When the Holy Spirit leaves and takes flight, darkness captivates your soul. I gotta hurry. My God, I mean, ain't even done with verse 18. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, men oppress the truth. They personally disagree with God, and they disagree with God's words. Acts 20:27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul said, I've not withheld any of God's knowledge, wisdom, understanding, whatever it takes for you to be saved, to endure, to finish, to make it to heaven. I have not shunned to declare any of the counsel of God to you. You see, the wrath of God is against all ungodliness. The wrath of God is against all unrighteousness, and that of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They intentionally, by omission and with intent, leave out certain parts of the truth, or they change the truth. Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now that's what they do. That's what they do. The reason it takes me sometimes a long time to get through a verse, I'm trying to get you to understand the depth and the breadth of just one thing that God has said to us through the apostles and the epistles. It's my job to dissect the scriptures and to make them as elementary and as simple with simplicity that you can understand and grow in grace and in knowledge. Because once you get the understanding, you got it. It's like somebody teaching you how to do something. You look at it the first time, you say, man, that's hard. You look at it again, it's even more hard. The person sits down and says, let me show you, let me teach you. And then you learn it. You say, now it's easy. Why? Because now you know, now you understand. That's what makes it easy. You have been able now to comprehend. You can comprehend. You understand. Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I'm trying to help you to understand the word of God. I'm trying to help you understand the seriousness of God's word, how that every man is going to give an account of his life and be judged by the word of God. God's not going to pull out another book at Judgment Day. He don't play tricks. He's given us his word. And these men, intentionally, by omission and by intent, they leave out parts of the truth, or they twist the truth to make it say what they wanted to say for not only their sakes, but for your sakes. You see, too long, you've just listened to what somebody told you. You're not like the Bereans and search the scriptures and study these things to see if they're really true. I challenge you. Study the word. See if I'm telling you the truth. See if I'm giving you a balanced, honest interpretation of the word of God by playing with your mind with trickery, chicanery. Am I being duplicitous? Am I trying to manipulate you, coerce you, like these other lying preachers, seduce and use all sorts of means and modes and methods to get money and promise you this and promise you that and, you know, walk up, have I ever seen you before, sir? They're soothsayers. They're divination. They're diviners, not of God, but of familiar spirits. I'll see you tomorrow in Jesus' name.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.